I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I praise you and I worship you. I give you glory and I give you honor tonight, Lord. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I lift you up. Let's do that some more. I feel the Holy Ghost in this room tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, I praise you tonight, God. I praise you tonight, God. I praise you tonight, God. Bless your name. Bless your name. Bless your name. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. The Holy Ghost is in this house tonight. I can feel His presence. Can you feel His presence? Amen. And whenever God comes to church, He comes to church on purpose. God doesn't just come to come. He comes on purpose. He comes to save. He comes to heal. He comes to deliver. He comes to bless. He comes to do good things for His people. Oh, yes, He does. Oh, yes, He does. From our side of things, there's just got to be some response. There's got to be some faith. There's got to be some hunger that says, I want something from God tonight. I don't want to leave the same way I came. Amen. Do you feel that way? Psalm 114 is where I direct your attention to. Psalm 114. And while you are turning there, let me say what a great honor it is to once again be back with this wonderful church family. Give honor to your pastor and pastor's wife and their family, certainly. Deeply love and appreciate them. And we're glad to be in the front yard. Amen. We're glad. Amen. And I... just such an honor to be here. Amen. Thank you for all the kindness shown to our family. And then, of course, to Elder and Sister Worths, we love you and appreciate you tonight. Amen. Psalm 114, let's begin reading tonight with verse 1. The Bible says, when Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language. Verse 2, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah was God's sanctuary. I want to preach tonight for the next few moments from this subject, how to build God a sanctuary. How to build God. Anyone interested in building God a sanctuary tonight?
Yes, 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 yes.
How to build God a sanctuary. Amen. Would you set your Bibles down? Let's pray together. Jesus, we love you. I thank you, God, for this tonight. I thank you for this opportunity to be in your presence. I'm asking you now in these next few moments that we have together that you would anoint me to preach your word. I pray you would anoint every heart to receive the word of God tonight. I pray it in Jesus' name. Let your perfect will be accomplished. We will forever give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor. Let your perfect will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. We love you. We praise you. We worship you. In your precious name we pray, and everyone said amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you for standing. Please be seated. I am not by trade, I am not an architect. An architect is someone who is trained in the planning, design, the oversight, the supervision of the construction of buildings. Many years ago, I had a friend who was going to school to become an architect, and he told me that between schooling and required work experience, that it would take him almost 8 years before he would be licensed. That was in California. Maybe different here in the Midwest. I am not an engineer. I'm not an engineer. I do not design things. I'm not a contractor. I'm not a builder. I have close friends who are, but I'm not a contractor. The fact of the matter is, I'm not very good with my hands. I have friends who can build, and they can build well. I have friends who can paint, and I don't mean just put color on a wall. My 4-year-old can do that. I mean artistically paint. I have friends who can fix cars. Some people, their ability and their talent to work with their hands is amazing. It really is. Unfortunately, I'm not one of those types of people. Trust me, you do not want me to build you a house. At least a house you want to live in. You don't want me to paint your house. You don't want me to work on your car, change your oil. If you need help, I have some telephone numbers of people you can call. However, I do admire the creativity of those who design and the skill of those who build. Your pastor is one of those people. I've been privileged to travel and see a number of places, and I stand amazed. I stand amazed. For example, the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco is arguably one of the world's most beautiful bridges. Took over 4 years to complete the Golden Gate. Today, over 45 million vehicles cross the Golden Gate Bridge every year. As far as structure and construction are concerned, the Golden Gate required the tallest towers. It required the longest, the thickest cables, and the largest underwater foundation piers ever built. The foundation piers had to be sunk in the violent, pounding waters of the open sea, something that at that time was thought to be impossible. Today, it spans 4,600 feet. The suspended towers reach 746 feet upward. And the channel clearance, the distance between the bridge and the water below, is 220 feet. The roadway is supported by 36.5-inch diameter cables. It's pretty amazing. Hearst Castle, San Simeon, California, not far from where I was born and raised, was the home of the late William Randolph Hearst. At one time, it sat on 250,000 acres. In 1919, William Randolph Hearst sent a message to famed San Francisco architect Julia Morgan. And the message read, "Miss Morgan, we are tired of camping out in the open at the ranch in San Simeon. And I would like to build a little something." William Randolph Hearst and Julia Morgan's design was destined to become one of the world's greatest attractions and showplaces. By 1947, Hearst and Morgan had created and built a little something. It was an estate of 165 rooms and 127 acres of gardens, terraces, pools, and walkways. The Empire State Building in New York City stands at 1,454 feet. There are 102 floors in the Empire State Building, 1,860 steps from street level to the 102nd floor. There are 6,500 windows. It took 57,000 tons of steel to construct and build the steel skeleton. It took 7 million man hours to build the Empire State Building. At peak times, there were as many as 3,400 workers at one time working on the building. The Washington Monument in Washington, D.C.
Built between 1848, 1884, it serves as a tribute to George Washington's military leadership during the American Revolution. Weighing 81,120 tons, it stands at 555 feet and 5 1/8 inches tall. The amazing fact is, there's not 1 ounce of steel in the structure. The Gateway Arch in St. Louis, perhaps something you may be familiar with. It's a memorial to commemorate the westward expansion of the United States during the 1800s. It towers 630 feet above the mighty Mississippi. Its foundation extends 60 feet into the ground. It weighs 17,246 tons. 900 tons of stainless steel was used to build that Gateway Arch. And it was built by placing one section of triangular steel on another section of triangular steel until it was just the arch that was left to complete. And even then, it's amazing, just the heat and the cold and the expansion and how they had to fit that piece in. But pictures taken during that time showed men, mainly Native American men, sitting at the top of the legs of that building, sitting at the top, not me, don't count me in there. Experts expected 13 men to die, and amazingly, no one died. I know that I don't know much, but I do know this. I admire all of those places. They stand as symbols to the ingenuity of those who design and build. But hear me on this Sunday night when I tell you that I'm not interested in building a Gateway Arch. All right. And I'm not interested on this Sunday night in building a Washington Monument or an Empire State Building. It would be nice to live in, but I'm not interested tonight in building another Hearst Castle. I'm not interested tonight in building a Golden Gate. But I want you to hear me tonight. There is only one building that Michael Barrier has the interest in learning how to build. There is only one structure. There's only one edifice that Michael Barrier wants to know how to build. And I want to build God a sanctuary. Am I preaching to anybody on a Sunday night? Am I preaching to a daddy? Am I preaching to a mama? Am I preaching to a young person? Am I preaching to a saint of God who would say, I want to build God. I'm not interested in building an Empire State. I'm not interested in building a Washington. I want to build God a sanctuary. You may be seated. A sanctuary is a consecrated place. It's a place of refuge and protection. A sanctuary is a sacred place. It's a building that's been set apart for a resort. It is the holy place. It is the place of the presence. A sanctuary is God's holy habitation. I'm not preaching tonight about a place that is built with men's hands. I'm not preaching tonight about a place that is built with wood and sheetrock, that is built with paint and stucco, that has pews and carpet. I'm not preaching tonight about a place that you can touch with the physical hand or you can see with the naked eye. Instead, I am preaching about a sanctuary, a place for God to dwell, a place for God to live, a place of abode, a place of habitation, a resting place for God Almighty. And so I ask you again, knowing this, is there anybody who's interested in building God, in building the King of Kings, in building the Lord of Lords? Is there anybody interested in building God a sanctuary? God desires a sanctuary. Oh, yes, He does. God desires a sanctuary. God is looking for a place where He can dwell. God is looking for a place where He can live. Oh, yes, He is. He's looking for a place of abode. He's looking for a habitation. He's looking for a resting place. God is looking for a place to call home. I love to travel. I like airplanes. I'm crazy, I know. I like hotels. I like restaurants. I like it. I enjoy traveling. I enjoy it. But there does come a point where I've seen enough airplane. And I've slept enough on a hotel bed and used their pillow. And I've eaten it. I just want to go home. I just want to walk through my own front door and go to my own refrigerator and open it up and take the 2-liter out. Not worry about getting the cup, but pop the top. And because I'm home, ladies and gentlemen, it's my house. I can do whatever I want to do. I can go put my hand in the cookie jar and I can just eat out of the cookie jar if I want to. And I can take a shower in my own shower. And I can lay in my own bed. There's just something about home. Home. I want to go home. And can I tell you, God feels the same way. Oh, yes, He does. On this Sunday night, God, He's not looking for a stopping off point. He's not looking for a place where He can spend the night and then He gets going the next day. No, God is looking for a place He can call home. God is looking for a place where He can rest. God is looking for a place where He can abide. God is looking. He's looking for a sanctuary. He's looking for a sanctuary. He's looking. He's looking where His glory can dwell, where His power can dwell, where His presence can dwell. And so I ask you again, is there anybody who wants to build God that kind of place? God, stop by here. It's not a stopping off point. It's home. It's home. It's you can do whatever you want to do. You can do whatever you want to do. You can heal. You can save. You can deliver. You can work miracles. Oh. Oh, I think we need to lift our hands right now. Come on. I feel the Holy Ghost in this room tonight. Come on, new life. Come on. God's looking for a place to call home. God's looking for a place where He can do whatever He wants to do. He can heal. He can save. He can deliver. God, this is that place. This is that place. Feel free. You can do whatever you want to do. This isn't in my notes, but can I just preach to somebody tonight? There's a lot of Pentecostal churches. There's a lot of Pentecostal churches. We've become so programmed. We have become so programmed. Where it's three songs, four songs, two songs, whatever it is, and then it's the offering, and then we're gonna take prayer requests, and then we're gonna greet visitors, and then the choir's gonna sing, and then we're gonna have some preaching, and then we're gonna go home, and we start at 6, or we start at 6:30, and we'll be out by 7:30, or we'll be out by 8. It's just so down to the minute. I've seen those kind of schedules. It's down to the minute. I'm telling you, in those kind of places, if God wanted to move, he couldn't if he wanted to. He couldn't have his way if he wanted to. I say, not here, not in Augusta, not in New Life. God, you're welcome here to do whatever. This is home. This is your home. This is the place of your habitation. This is the place of your presence. You can heal whoever you want to heal. You can deliver whoever. If you want to interrupt, we call it interrupting our sir. If you want to have your way, have your way. That's why we've come. That's why we've gathered, to build you a sanctuary. Yes, we have. Come on, let's entertain his presence right now. Come on, let's entertain his presence right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, I'm not in a hurry right now. I feel the Holy Ghost here. Come on, this is why we've gathered tonight. We've come to praise him and to worship him. We've come to bless the Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. During the days of Adam and Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Joseph, God had no dwelling place. God had no sanctuary. But after Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, God spake to Moses on that same mount that we preached about this morning. God spake to Moses, Exodus 25, and said, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. Of every man that giveth it, let him give it willingly with his heart. If they don't want to give it, I don't want it. I don't need it. I want it willingly. You shall take my offering. This is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver, brass and blue, purple and scarlet, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones, stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and here it is, and let them make me a sanctuary. And here's why, that I may dwell among them. God said, Moses, you tell the people to bring the gold and bring the silver and bring the brass and bring the stones, bring the linen, bring the scarlet, bring the purple. Let them construct me. Let them build me a sanctuary for this reason, that I may dwell among them. Chapter 29, Moses, here it is. God speaking says, and I will dwell among the children of Israel, and I will be their God, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. It is the desire of God to dwell among his people. God doesn't want to be a stranger. God doesn't want to be a foreigner. God doesn't want to be a visitor. It is the desire of God to dwell among his people. It's the desire of God when we assemble on Sunday morning that the presence of God is here. It's the desire of God when we assemble on a Sunday like we're feeling tonight that the presence of God is in this house. That the presence of God is, I don't know about you, but I want God to dwell in our midst. I want the presence of God, the power of God, the glory of God to dwell among us. 1 Chronicles 17, David desired to build God a sanctuary, but because he was a man of war and he had blood on his hands, God did not allow him to build him one. Instead, God said, and it shall come to pass when your days are expired that you must go be with your fathers, that I will raise up your seed after you, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me an house. And David said, okay, God, if I can't build you a house, then at least let me stockpile for the house that is to be builded, because it is to be exceeding magnificent. It's to be a sight to behold. Let me stop. At least let me have a little part in it. At least let me play a little role in this. And so he said, Solomon, here's gold for things to be made of gold. And here's silver for things to be made of silver. And here's brass for things to be made of brass. Here's some wood for things. And it took them 7 years to build God's house. And so Solomon, in his dedicatory prayer, he would say, oh Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in goodness. Oh Lord God, he's praying his dedicatory prayer of the house he just built for God. Turn not away the face of thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David, thy servant. And your Bible says that when Solomon had made an end of praying, that the fire came down from heaven. It consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. It filled the house to the point the priest couldn't even enter and minister in the sanctuary that Solomon had just built. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, Solomon found out real quick there's more to this sanctuary business than just gold and silver and wood and onyx stones and linen and scarlet. There's more to it than that. The glory, that's what makes it a sanctuary. The glory of God has to fill the house. If it doesn't, it's just another beautiful building. If it doesn't, it's just another Empire State Building. It's just another Gateway Arch. The glory of God has to fill the house. The presence of God has to fill the house. Come on, there's more to this thing than wood and sheetrock, padded pews and carpet. We're talking about the glory. We're talking about the presence of God. We're talking about his power. So I ask you tonight, Is there anybody that wants to build God a sanctuary? Come on, you don't need gold. You don't need silver. You don't need precious stones. It doesn't require education, work, experience. Nah, none of that matters. There's only one way to build God a sanctuary. And we read it in our text tonight. Leah had given birth to Reuben, Simeon, Levi, hoping and praying that it would find her favor in the eyes of Jacob. Alas, it didn't. Finally, she gave birth to that fourth son. She said, surely now. And she said, his name shall be called Judah. May God be praised. And the psalmist would reach back to that Old Testament story and would say, let me tell you how you build God a sanctuary. Let me tell you how you get God's attention. Let me tell you how you make God comfortable. It's with your praise, and it's with your worship, and it's with your love, and it's with your adoration. Come on, folks. We all know what it's like to walk into a house and feel unwelcomed. We all know what it's like to walk into a restaurant and come to a table and know they weren't expecting me to come. I'm not welcome here. We all know what that's like. How do you think God feels when he tries to come to churches and they're just sitting on their pews and they're folding their arms? Thank God not here. And they're crossing their legs and their mouth shut. I'll tell you, he feels unwelcomed. He feels like, well, they weren't expecting me tonight. And we all know what it's like to walk into a house and know, hey, they wanted me. They're expecting me. Folks, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, that's what our praise does. It rolls out the welcome mat for God. It says, you're welcome here. We want you here. Your glory, your power, your presence. It's welcome here. Do whatever you want to do, God. Do whatever you want to do, God. Come on, do whatever you want to do, God. That ought to be our attitude every service. The welcome mat is here. Listen, when the praise team, when the song leader tells you to praise the Lord, he's not wasting time. He's not wasting time. He's not just trying to ad lib and come up with something to say. When the pastor or the preacher tells you, come on, folks, it's time to praise the Lord. We're not just trying to take up time. We understand in his presence, there's fullness of joy. In his presence, there's healing. In his presence, there's salvation. In his presence, there's deliverance. And he inhabits the praises. He lives in the praises. He dwells in the praises of his people. Come on, let's lift him up right now. Come on, I feel him in this house. Come on. I don't know what you need on a Sunday night, but let me tell you, praise is the key. Praise unlocks. We used to sing a song, when the praises go up, the glory comes down. When the praises go up, the power comes down. When the praises go up, Spirit of God comes down. Oh. 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 Ha 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 ha. Ya la 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 la. yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Several years ago, I heard a preacher tell a story about attending a large conference. And at that conference, he said the glory of God came down in that building in such a way. And it was one of those type conferences where there were elected officials and politicians and who's who. But the glory of God came down in such a powerful way. People were lost. They were drunk. And that evening, one of the most distinguished men, he was making his way back to the hotel. And if you were to catch him on a weekday, he was a distinguished man. Hair in place, necktie. But that night, his necktie was loosened. The hair was disheveled. The coat was wrinkled. It was sweated down. And he made his way to the hotel, and he was stepping onto the elevator, and this other preacher was with him, and there was this couple getting on the elevator, and they were nicely dressed. They looked like they had just come from dinner. They thought they had exchanged greetings, and then they realized they didn't just come from dinner. When the woman, the wife, opened her mouth and said, "Wasn't that an embarrassment tonight?" And to their horror, they realized they were in the same room we were in, where the glory of God was. We had all of these elected officials and who's who, and didn't we make a shame of ourselves tonight? And that distinguished preacher, he was just standing in the elevator, seemingly oblivious, just lost in what had just happened. And it was as if all of a sudden it dawned on him what they were saying. When the door opened to his floor and he started to walk out, and he turned around and he pointed at that couple and said, "God shut Michal's womb when she mocked David's worship." And he said, "You show me a church that doesn't worship, and I'll show you a church that's not having babies. You show me a church that's not worshiping, and I'll show you a church that's not having revival. You show me a church, I say, on this Sunday night, let there be something that comes out of us that says, I'm going to worship. I'm not going to lose my praise. I'm not going to lose. Come on, this is bigger than us just coming to church and taking up time. We're entertaining the presence of God. We're worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." Come on, it's about the glory. Come on, it's about the glory. It's about the presence of God. It's about the power of God. I'm almost done. David learned at a very young age, you don't need a building to praise God. David learned at a very young age, it's not about a building. It's not about carpet. It's not about pews. And thank God for it. We don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Oh, no, we don't. But David realized it's all about the glory. It's all about the power and the presence of God. And alone, by himself, on the backside of Daddy's house, David learned, I know how to get the glory of God. I know how to get the presence of God. I know how to get the power of God. All I need is a harp, and all I need is my voice. And with my voice and with an instrument, I can get the glory of God. I can get the power of God. I can get the presence of God. I can get the Spirit of God. And so when he became king, and he started asking, where's that ark? Where's that ark? Where's that ark? And they said, well, we haven't seen the ark in a long time. It's been years since we've seen the glory. And David said, wait a minute. You mean Saul was trying to have church without the glory of God? You mean Saul was trying to have church without the praise? Yes, David, that's what we mean. And David said, oh no, not now. It's a new administration. If anything, we need the glory. If anything, we need the power. If anything, we need the presence of God. They went and got it. They put it on a new cart. That cart, those oxen stumbled. That cart rocked. That Ark of the Covenant started. It looked like it was getting ready to fall. And Uzzah stretched forth his hand and stabled it. And God killed him. 2 Samuel chapter 6. David asked the question, how shall the ark of the Lord return to me? How can I get the glory back? How can I get the presence of God back? I'm done. Everybody stand. How can I get the presence of God back? Come on, that's what this is all about. I want to build God a sanctuary. I want God to feel at home every time he comes to church. I want to build God a sanctuary in my home. I want to build God a sanctuary in my marriage. I want to build God a sanctuary in my family, my kids. How can I get the glory? They said, David, you've got to put it on the shoulders of priests. And David said, I'll do that. But is there anything I can do? And David said, here's what I'll do. I'll go 6 paces. And then I'm going to stop and I'm going to take oxen. I'm going to kill them. I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to dance. And I'm going to go 6 more steps. That's how I'm going to get the glory back. I'm going to go 6 more steps. I'm going to kill the ox. I'm going to sacrifice. And I'm going to go 6 more steps. And I'm going to kill the animals. And I'm going to dance my way back to Jerusalem in front of the glory of God. You know how the glory comes? It comes with our worship. You know how the glory comes? It comes with our praise. You know how the power comes? It comes with our worship. It comes with our praise. Is there anybody on a Sunday night who would say, I want to build God a sanctuary. I want to build, come on, new life. Is there anybody who would say, I want to build God a house. I want to build God a place for his presence. I want to build God a place. Come on. I want God to have his way. I want God to heal. I want God to save. I want God to deliver. I want God to work miracles. You ought to come with your hands raised. Your voice is lifted. Come on, daddy. Come on, mama. Come on, young person. Come on, saint of God. Come on. Come on. This is all about the glory. It's all about the presence of God. It's all about the power. Come on. If you need something from God tonight, you ought to come with your hands raised. Your voice is lifted. Praise and worship. He inhabits. He inhabits. Come on, that's right. He inhabits. Come on, this is where God has chosen to put his name. You're welcome here, God. You're welcome here, God. Have your way, have your way, Have your way, save, heal.